Oh, dear Father, we're so thankful that we can be here this morning, Lord, by your grace to partake and learn more of you, to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus. And we are thankful that you're here with us, that you're for us, Lord, and who could be against us. And we're so thankful for your precious word that we can stand on, Lord, and know the truth and the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to see what you have for us, Lord. And we just ask for your anointing at this time, that our hearts would be open to receive, Lord, that your word would go forth, and what you would have said would go forth here this morning, Lord. And we thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you want to turn to Psalm 119 this morning, I'll tell you the verse here in a minute, but yeah, there's a few of them, a few verses there. Pastor asked me to speak a couple weeks ago, and I just seek the Lord as to what he'd have me to say. I didn't have anything in mind at the time, but I just was in the Word of God and just in prayer, and I just, the verse came to my mind here in Psalm 119, verse 18. It says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And that was my prayer. Lord, open my eyes to see what you have for me to bring forth this morning. And so that became my sermon this morning. Open my eyes. And looking at some of these words has been real precious. The word open means to uncover or reveal. And it made me think of the book of Revelation. All that's revealed there. And that word, in the Greek word for revelation is apocalypse. And you know, if you look at some dictionaries and you read what that meaning is, it describes it as a great disaster or catastrophic destruction. That's what they look at the apocalypse as. But the Greek word actually means unveiling, uncovering, and reveal. So we look at it, as Christians, we look at the book of Revelation different from the way the world would look at it. We look at it with anticipation. It starts out, you know, the very first words, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, I want to know more about Jesus. And if there's a book that's going to start out by saying the revelation of Jesus Christ, I want that. And we're encouraged to read it. But just think of all the wonderful things just in, you know, in that book and thinking of the encouragement there. It starts out with Jesus walking through the midst of the churches. And as was mentioned this morning in prayer, that Jesus is here. He's walking up and down these aisles, looking, he sees our hearts. God looks on the heart. And he sees those that are wanting and desiring more of him. And he'll meet that need. God's faithful. He's no respecter of persons. And if he sees a heart that desires more, he will see that that is met. And he is here. As he walked through the churches, we read there, some of them, they were all commended for certain things, and some of them were corrected for things that they were out of order about. But he's not here judging us for any kind of a punishment. Jesus took that judgment upon himself on the cross. He's here judging us for rewards. How much do we want? You can't ask for too much. You can't ask for too much. God gave us his only begotten Son, and he's offering us to sit on the throne and rule and reign with him. You can't ask for more than that. You ask, and he has a, we heard Friday night from the brother that ask and seek and knock and keep going. The Lord will answer. But so in the other things in Revelation I thought about, you know, it goes into the throne room, a throne set in heaven. And there's the Old Testament worthies of faith there. And Jesus takes his throne, and in the midst of the throne with him, there is the four living creatures, which represent the bride of Christ. And there's all this worship going on there. And then I thought about it this morning as they're singing a song of the scriptures. Several times you hear in Revelation, they sang a new song. They sang a new song. And it's just going to be something that just will burst forth from within them, that the what they see there from the Lord and his how wonderful he is, it'll just burst forth. And there's the next chapter goes into the scroll that has the seven seals on it. No one's worthy to open it except for one, the Lamb of God. And they all just, worship him again. And the angels worship him. And then it's just sounds like everything that hath breath is praising the Lord, worshiping him, because he is worthy. Jesus is worthy. He's the only one. But the other things we see in that book that are a joy to us is how Jesus defeats all his enemies. All the enemies of the Lord are defeated there. And he is recognized as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it says that all the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord. And he rules forever and ever. And we are there ruling with him. And that goes on, the false church is put down. And so then there's the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now we are really looking forward to that. The marriage supper of the Lamb, and it's going to be glorious, and glory to God and honor to him in that time. But after that, there's a new heaven and a new earth. And so, the Lord made this earth beautiful, but it's under a curse. But that at that time also the curse, there'll be no more curse. There'll be no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. No night there. It's all, these are wonderful things that we look forward to. We're not looking at that book as catastrophic destruction. We're looking at that thing as wonderful exaltation, worshiping the Lord. There's the holy city, New Jerusalem, and it's 1,500 miles four square. It's a big city. God doesn't do anything, halfway. He does it all out. And just, the jewels that garnish it and the streets of gold, and we get to see his face. These are wonderful things. I look forward to that. And just, as Jesus closed the book out, he said, "Behold, I come quickly." And we're looking for that any moment now, aren't we? Praise the Lord. So going back to our verse here, the psalmist said, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things." So behold, David started out this morning that in John there, which says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us." And you think about John the Baptist, when Jesus came, he saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And that word behold means to regard with pleasure. And think about that. The psalmist David said, "One thing I have desired, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple." So we behold the beauty of the Lord, and it's in his word. That's where you see who he is. So behold, we're here to behold the word of God. The word of God enlightens our eyes to see. It's with pleasure. As we take in this word and as you read through it and as it becomes part of your life more and more, it is a pleasure. It's a joy. You just look to it and say, "Wow, the Lord's so wonderful." And then, he's talking about me, how much he loves me right there. And he's coming for me. He said, he's coming back. And as this world, the things going on in this world, the Bible tells that they would be coming, about the love of many waxing cold and the things getting worse and worse. But what are we told to do? Look up. The Lord's return draws nigh. So look up. Behold. And then it talks about, behold, the psalmist said, "Behold wondrous things out of thy law." And that word wondrous is marvelous. Behold marvelous things. And as you would read through what the Lord's done in the Old Testament here, I marvel sometimes. You look at some of the miracles of marching around Jericho and the parting of the Red Sea, the things was mentioned this morning about water from a rock and manna from heaven, the nations that would come against Israel, and Israel would defeat them all, and on and on. Marvelous, wonderful, surpassing. There's not a book like this anywhere. This book is the Word of God. It's alive. It's surpassing, extraordinary. This is not ordinary. There's a lot of ordinary writings in the world. This one is extraordinary. And it's also, one of the meanings of that word wondrous is hidden. And we'll talk about that here a little bit later. And then also it means wonderful. Wonderful. And in Isaiah, we read that his name shall be called Wonderful. So what we're looking at as we behold in the Word of God is we're looking at Jesus. He's the one that we're learning of. This book is all about him. From cover to cover, it's about Jesus. And if you want to know Jesus, read the Word of God. And if you really want to know Jesus, get filled with the Holy Spirit. That's when you'll get to know him the most. But he is wonderful. So you think about Jesus and looking at these same words, marvelous. He is marvelous. Surpassing, wow. He's been given a name above every other name. He's seated at the right hand of God right now. He's above all principality and power and might. And he created all things. He holds it all together. He's surpassing. Extraordinary? Ha! That's like a, you know, he's the fairest of 10,000, the chiefest. And more than that, fairest of millions, you could say. And then hidden, there's the hidden things of that God, you know, he will hide things in the scriptures because he wants you to search it out. Yeah. And, you know, it's the honor of kings. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search it out, search out a matter. And he delights that when we search it out. He'll reveal it to us. And then wonderful, as I said, his name is wonderful. So I want to look at a couple or a few examples of people that had their eyes opened in the Bible. So if you want to turn over to 2 Kings chapter 6, this is where the king of Syria had sent a great host by night to capture Elisha. And I know many of you are familiar with this, but 2 Kings 6, starting in verse 14. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So here's this young man that looks out and sees this great host. And he's a little concerned, you know, alas, what are we going to do? But the man of faith says, Fear not, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And that's words we can take to our heart today. They that be with us are more than they would be with them. You know, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And if God be for us, who could be against us? You need to look at that through the eyes of faith. And we do face things that are overwhelming to us. And they are way more than we can handle in our own strength. But the Lord's there for us. And he allows these situations to come to us that we'll look to him and realize who he really is, his strength that he wants to give to us and show himself strong in our behalf, that we might know our Lord better. So it's knowing the Word of God. When we have something come against us, and you can call to the Lord brings to your memory a scripture. And as I mentioned, these elders, or anytime someone would come to counsel with the pastor, and something would be just so overwhelming in their life, such a burden, something weighing them down, what do they point them to? The Word of God. Give them a scripture. And you could, even just like Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And these things just lift you up. You come out with a whole new perspective. You know, there's more with us than with them. Your eyes are opened, and you see what the right perspective you should look at things. You're not down anymore. The Lord lifts you up with his Word. And so let's just, you know, think about that. When you have times or you're feeling overwhelmed for whatever reason, just look to the Word of God. And if you need to, call someone. You can call a brother or sister or an elder and say, just, you know, how about I need a little word of encouragement. I'm down at this time, and you know, and the Lord does that. He'll have someone text you or send you a card sometimes. David mentions about being in the hospital and really feeling down at a time, and someone brought forth a scripture that just lifted and hold right up and just like lightened the whole room. So and that can be what the Word of God will do. So another example is of someone having their eyes open was in John chapter 9. I'm going to turn over there. And I love this chapter. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I would encourage you on your own to just read that whole chapter about this man that was born blind. But Jesus healed this man that was born blind. And I'm just going to kind of summarize some of it. But the people and the Pharisees asked him, "How were thine eyes opened?" And he said, "Well, Jesus anointed my eyes with, he spit on the ground and made some clay and anointed my eyes and told me to go wash, and I did, and now I can see." But they wouldn't believe. You know, unbelief is pretty powerful. And when these people are dead set against the truth, they just won't, though they see a miracle, they won't change. But they said, "Well, you know, this man's a sinner. He couldn't be doing this." And in verse 25, here's what this blind man says. He answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." He had a testimony. And we can have a testimony. And you'll have a testimony as a Christian, even if you just got saved. And someone could, you know, you could testify to someone that I'm forgiven. Right, Walter? Where's Walter at? That's Walter's motto. I think it's on his wall. Anyway, that's a wonderful thing. You don't have to know a whole lot. And someone could question you and about this and that, and you just admit, "I don't know it all. You know, I haven't learned everything, but I'll tell you what, Jesus loves me, and he died for me. And I believe in him, and I have eternal life." Just the things you know, you can say that you know, and don't have to worry about what you don't know. That's just the Lord encouraging you to go study some more. But don't feel bad. You just tell what you know, and it'll glorify God. Bring glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what we want to do. And I just love how this man did that. He just said, "You know, I don't know all these things, but I was blind, and now I can see." And that's how we are. That's the same, too, if you think about testifying to someone about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And they might question you, "Well, how does that happen? What's this, you know, the speaking in tongues and all the things?" And you might not have all the answers, but you could say, "You know, all I can tell you is that I used to read this Bible, but I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Now I can really see it. It just lit up to me, and I can see the Word of God. It hits my heart and my mind, and I can just understand it so much more. It makes so much more sense. It's more alive to me." Just that's all you have to say. I don't know all the little ins and outs about it, but I'll tell you what I know, and that's that I was almost, you could say, blind, but now I can see. And so praise the Lord. That's all. We just tell what we know and glorify God with what he's given us and go on to take more. And then another example, if you want to turn back to Luke, the last chapter 24, is about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And this is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And they're walking along and they're sad, and you know, because Jesus had died. And Jesus drew near and walked with them. But it says in verse 16 that their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And so they walked along and Jesus talked with them, and they explained what was going on. And he's like, you guys are slow of heart to believe. And in verse 25, he says that. And he talks about these things had to happen to Christ, that he was to suffer and die. And again, the Word of God shows us things. As again, in this time we live in now, the things going around on in the world, if you don't know the Word of God, they can get you down. You can get discouraged and you can lose hope. But when you see that that's what the Bible says is going to happen before Christ returns, you can be joyful and say, "Yeah, that there's another bad thing that happened, but you know what? That just means Jesus coming is getting a little closer, a little closer." So he just, Jesus told him here, these Jesus, Christ had to suffer these things to enter into his glory. And in verse 27, it says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And what a Bible study. And I, you know, we'd have loved to heard that. But, you know, we do get to hear that. We've got the word of God recorded for us. And if you come to Bible studies and sermons, you're going to hear it expounded to you. As ministers bring forth the word of God and show, you know, that this portion was talking about Jesus. And it says here in Isaiah 53 that these things would happen to him. And, you know, and it just, you see Christ is, it was told, foretold all the way through. I went through it once and did a study on the things that were prophesied about Jesus before he would come. And I counted 50 things that were prophesied, that he fulfilled every one, jot and tittle. You know, it was, there was no doubt Jesus is the Christ. And so that's what this word talks about. And you get it expounded to you. You get to read it over and over and hear it. Thank the Lord. So then later that day, so Jesus vanishes out of their sight. And in as they came and he broke bread with them, and he vanished. And they in verse 31, it says, their eyes were open and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. So he broke bread and they just, he was gone. And they're like, wow, that was Jesus. And so they go back and they tell the disciples that, you know, the Lord appeared to him. And so while they're talking to him, here's Jesus comes and he's in the midst of them again. At first they're troubled and afraid and, you know, and Jesus talks to them. And, but he says here in the next, in verse 44, Jesus spoke to them and said, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And that opening of the understanding is like having your eyes open. We read about some physical eyes being opened here, about the man that was blind, his eyes were open. The servant of Elisha had his eyes open. But this opening of your understanding is talking more about your spiritual sight. Paul prayed that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. That's the eyes of your heart, that the Holy Spirit would open your eyes to see the scriptures. And so Jesus opened their eyes, their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he even told his disciples, though, as he was getting ready to depart, that he had many things to say unto them, but they weren't able to bear it at that time. But he said, when the Spirit of truth comes, which is the Holy Spirit, he'll guide you into all truth. And he'll take the things of Christ and show them unto you. And so it takes the Holy Spirit. If you really want to know this book, the Holy Spirit inspired the men that wrote this book. And this isn't just a bunch of men that wrote something that they thought up in a dream or whatever. The Holy Spirit inspired them. This word of God has got a harmony all the way through it. And it's, again, from cover to cover, it's revealing Jesus Christ. It's showing us who he is and who the Father is going to proclaim to the whole world. This is my son. And he's over all. And all will have to, you know, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And that's something we look forward to, don't we? Hallelujah. So, Jesus says that the Spirit of truth would take the things of Christ and then show them unto us. So he's going to open our eyes. He's going to show them to us. But you won't understand them if you don't. If you refuse to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to see the deep things of God. You can read about it. It's like knowing a person in the natural. You can read about them in a magazine or a book that someone wrote about them. But if you really want to know that person, you got to get together with them and talk with them face to face. You want to see what they're like and you know, fellowship with them, be together. That's when you get to know someone. So the Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ and shows them unto us. And Jesus said that where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. So he gathers with us here. You want to know the Lord, to gather with the saints that are seeking the Lord and really putting him first, you'll get to know him. Thank the Lord, I have gotten to know him so well, and I want to know more. And there's always more. this is God we're talking about here. And then in Matthew 13, the disciples were asking Jesus why he spoke to everyone in parables. I guess we can turn over there, Matthew 13. And so Jesus is telling them parables, and then in, let's see here. They ask him there in verse 10. The disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So there's things that Jesus spoke, and it wasn't for everyone to understand. It was for those that would be born again would understand this. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. You have to be born again to understand the Word of God. But he said in verse 16, he said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And I would say that to you today. Blessed are your eyes, for they see the things of God and the mysteries that are in the Word of God. And we are blessed beyond measure. We are so blessed. And he goes on to say in verse 17, verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear the things which ye hear and have not heard them. And there was. The prophets many times were writing things, and they knew it wasn't for them. They just would be like, well, what is this about? And the Lord would tell them, it's not for you. You're writing it for someone else, and you know it's for us. If we ask the Lord something now in the scriptures, you know, what's this about? He's not going to say, oh, that's for another time. You just wait, and it's someone else. It's for us. This is the time when the Word of God's open to us. We live in a very special time. We're very blessed people to be in this age that the full revelation of the Word of God's been opened up. One way the Bible's described as the Old Testament is the Word of God enclosed or secret, but the New Testament is the Word of God unfolded. It's opened up to us, and mostly through the epistles of the Apostle Paul. He opens up the Word of God to us. And you look back and see what the things meant in the Old Testament, the things that they did and the people, their lives they lived, the things that the Lord had them to do, whether it was with the tabernacle or the priests and the sacrifices, is all pointing to Christ. And we get to see the fulfillment of that, the reality of it, not the shadow anymore, the reality. So blessed are your eyes. And those men desired to see it, but it wasn't for them. It's for us. And I marvel that the Lord, he knew who would have the hearts to believe him for this kind of thing. And he had us to live in this age. And the coming of the Lord is nigh. We hope to meet him in the air, not to even see death, but to meet the Lord in the air. And to have that closest place with him, not just to meet him as one of his servants, but as his wife, the closest place we can possibly have. Going on, I've got some more here. Go over to Acts 26, and Paul is before King Agrippa, and he is testifying how Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. So in Acts 26, starting in verse 13, he says, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. That's that word, purpose. Huh? To make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So Paul was sent to open the eyes of the Gentiles, the Jews too, but you know, mainly his ministry was to the Gentiles. And so the Lord had him to write these epistles. And part of Paul's life was spent in prison. You know, he went around doing, he had these missionary journeys. He was out preaching and visiting these churches, but the Lord had him put in prison. And while he was there, he wrote some epistles. And these are here for us. These are the high water marks of the Bible, these epistles that he wrote. So the Lord had him not to open just the eyes of the people that lived in that day, but throughout Christendom, throughout the whole New Testament. You know, the day of our Lord. I always think about that when the new year comes around, that AD stands for the year of our Lord. So this is 2022, the year of our Lord, 2022. And I love that because there's people that are atheists, whatever, and they try to make it something else, you know, the common era, whatever. But what's it based on? Well, it's based on the year Jesus was born. So, okay, just never mind those people. But I just love it. This is the year of our Lord, and maybe this is really the year of our Lord's return. Praise the Lord. Where was I? So anyway, Paul's writings were to open our eyes. And he explains in his epistles what a lot of the Old Testament was talking about. And then he takes the hidden things of that God hid and shows them to us. And we're going to look at that. Our verse again, as we started out, it said that word open meant to uncover or reveal. And one of the meanings of the word wondrous was hidden. So if we turn over to Ephesians chapter 3, and we will see how the message for this age was revealed to the Apostle Paul by the Spirit. Ephesians 3, starting in verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see, there's that again, open our eyes, make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So Paul here is saying that there has been a mystery that God had hid in the Old Testament, and it wasn't made known until the Lord showed it to the Apostle Paul. He was the one that the Lord chose. He, as he said, the least of the least. He's the chief of sinners. God took the lowest to show this to. He chose him that he would bring forth this message, and so that all the glory would go to God. It wasn't, Paul's not exalted in this. Paul was one that went around persecuting Christians. He was dead set against Christianity. And the Lord got a hold of him and turned him around, and he saw the truth. And he was the one that the Lord chose to be the apostle to this age. So he's here to make all men see. And what is this mystery talking about? Well, in verse 6 there, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. And this is brought out many times here, but that word fellow heirs is the Greek word synkleronimus, and it means joint heirs as husband and wife. And so that mystery is Jesus Christ is going to have a wife. He's going to have a bride. And that wasn't known before this time. It's there in type and shadow. In fact, it's all through the Bible, all over the place. But until it's revealed to you, you won't know it. But Jesus is going to have a wife. And that's a rib portion out from the body of Christ, which is the church. And that portion will be his wife, and Adam and Eve. God took that rib from Adam and builded a wife for Adam. And he said it's not good for the man to be alone, and he's doing the same for Jesus. He's taken those of this time that are closest to his heart, those that love him the most, and that want the most everything from him. They want to know him. And those are the ones he's building into a bride for Jesus Christ. That's the thing that our eyes have been opened to. Aren't you glad? Think about this little guy from Chicago. I'm from Chicago area, and come out here and I didn't know anything. Didn't even own a Bible. You know, came to this church and I thought, those people, I don't know if I want to go back there. You know, that's okay for them, but I don't think that's for me. Well, it is. Praise the Lord, it's for me, and it's for you too, and if you just want it. So I pray this is encouraging you. You know, we are blessed to have our eyes open, to know the things that we know, and just go after them, though. Don't neglect them. Don't take them for granted. Just treasure them and want more. The Lord, as I said, he always has more for us. So praise the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Let's be ready. Let's be looking up. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for this time. Your wonderful word, Lord, that encourages us, lifts us up, causes us to look up and love your appearing. And we are thankful for the glorious, marvelous work you're doing in our lives, Lord, to prepare us to be with you. And we look and long for that day, Jesus, to be with you, to see you face to face, to just embrace you, Lord, that you've loved us so, that you gave everything you had for us, Lord, like that pearl of great price. You gave it all, Lord, and you gave your life that we would have the best with you. And as we lay a hold of that, Lord, we know it glorifies you, and we want to bring glory to you. And thank you again for your great grace and mercy. Just be exalted this day, Lord, and have our thoughts and minds and our eyes open to the things of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.